this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I'm really excited. Just love being in God's presence. And I just love the way He responds when we respond to Him and His glory. And I know that many of you should be studying and could be studying, but thank you for being here anyway. Is there anyone still busy writing exams? A couple of you, anyone finished exams? Why are you still around here? See, it's beginning to get empty. A whole bunch of people have got home already. And maybe some of them are still stuck on their bicycles on the way back from Joburg. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm just so excited by the band for getting to move their stuff out of my way. But apart from being excited about that, just being in God's presence, and just the last couple of months, we've spent so much time speaking about the stuff that God has for us, and obviously in the finance week and last Sunday night, just taking some time out just to slow down a little bit to recap on what God has been saying to us. Asked you guys in small group this week past to really make a point of talking through those issues, making sure we're all on the same page in terms of our levels of obedience to the places of which God has called us, to our level of sacrifice and our faithfulness, and doing all of those things. Spoke about faith, about works, being dead, being aggressive in a sense in our faith, taking ownership of that for which God has given us. But in the midst of all of that, I just feel again, just the Holy Spirit just reminding us from time to time to have these interjections, that as we're busy going somewhere, as we've got this vision that we're pursuing, seeing the kingdom come, seeing this hall fall over and over with people glorifying the name of Jesus, seeing the campuses and the businesses and the city around us get saved, seeing the first years come to Jesus, that in the midst of all of that, God wants to remind us again that the goal isn't the goal as much as the goal is being in His presence. The goal isn't so much doing all of this amazing stuff as much as the goal is knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. So I'm wanting us today just to take a bit of time and read through one of the Psalms. One of the Psalms most of you probably know pretty well. But before we do that, we need a pop quiz questionnaire thing here. Services, as you can see, are getting a lot emptier now, so we'll let you know exactly when, but probably from December, we're only going to have one Sunday service again, one service per Sunday through to December. How many of you are going to be around during December? Okay, is there any one of those of you who are going to be around at some stage during December who won't be able to make a 4 o'clock service? Obviously, it's really hard for the parents of kids to be here for the evening. So the 6 o'clock service won't happen, so it'll probably be a 4 o'clock service. Now I'm thinking about it. Is there anyone here during that time who won't be able to make a 9 o'clock service in the morning? Okay, great. So you guys are all in for that. So just watch the announcements and your emails. We'll send it through a little bit closer to the time about exactly when we will be having those services. But you can turn or just read on the screen with me, Psalm 23, a psalm most of you probably know pretty well. We've heard it many times in various formats, but Psalm 23, verse 1, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who knows that passage really well? A whole bunch of us. And this evening, I'm wanting us just to take time and break it down a little bit, spend time looking at it. Obviously, it was written by David, who himself was a shepherd for a large part of his life. When he speaks about a shepherd, he knows what he's talking about because he did it for a long time. Go for walks, long walks and hikes for long periods of time. Not sure exactly how long, but weeks on end, he'd be away from his home looking after the sheep. Just him, the sheep, and his Creator. And there's something so beautiful and something so intimate that was shaped between David and God in these times when he was alone. Something so beautiful and something which I think in our modern days we so often neglect because we hate those times of being alone. Because we've got our TVs and we've got our cell phones and we've got our PlayStations and we've got all these other things to keep ourselves busy with, that we've lost the ability to just shut out everything and spend time on God. And David didn't have his iPhone with him when he was walking in the wilderness. Wasn't reading Twitter and browsing all the latest news feeds, watching the crickets, doing all of the other stuff that we keep ourselves busy with. David learned how by himself to spend time in God's presence. And David learned how, if we can just go back to the first part of this verse, Psalm 23, verse 1, it starts here and it says, a psalm of David. That just means it's a song, a melody, something that's coming out from his heart, and he's singing about the goodness of God. In our modern day worship terminology, we call this a praise song, the psalm. Because it's speaking about the attributes of God. He's describing who this God is that he has gotten to know so well. Speaking about different facets and different angles, different parts, different characteristics of the same God. And he starts and he says, this is a song. And I so love that the Bible reminds us that this is a song, because I think too many of us have forgotten how to sing. Not that we've forgotten how to sing in the technical sense of the word. Some of us have never learned, like myself. So you sing when you can make sure no one else is hearing. But some of us have forgotten just the ability of being joyful about the things in life. That when stuff is going well or stuff is going bad, we're walking around and there's a song in our hearts. One of my favorite songs is an old Rhema song, and it just starts, there's a song all the time stirring in this heart of mine. Unto you, Lord divine, songs of exultation. Let the cymbals ring out loud and it carries on. But I want to challenge some of you to sing more. To allow the Holy Spirit to stir in our hearts psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Scripture says. As we're meant to be singing to one another. But David writes, and David loved singing, and he writes the song of David. One of his many songs that he wrote. And he starts and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. If I were to ask you today, who is Jesus to you? Hopefully those of you who have done the perspective seminar, you'd be able to say, my Savior, and know what it means. Many of you would say, he's my Savior, but if I asked you what it meant, you wouldn't be able to explain why you say it. If that's you, come and do the perspective seminar. Some of you would say, he's my provider, he's my healer. Some of you would say a whole bunch of different things. They're all true and they're all right. But he's also your shepherd. And I love how David starts with that. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He is the one who is looking out for my health at all times. He is the one who is watching for danger. He is the one who is making sure I've got enough food and there's water to drink. He is the one who makes sure that I'm walking in health. He's the one who's making sure we're on the right path and we're going in the right direction. The Lord is my shepherd. He watches over me. And David, I'm so sure, can associate with the time that he was with his sheep, walking around, caring for them, looking after them. John 10 says so beautifully, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he walks and he says, the Lord, he is my shepherd. In the same time, if we just put the focus on the other verse, the other part of the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. I think so many of us, we go through life, and many of us as Christians, sometimes we're doing a whole bunch of stuff, and something starts going wrong, and we start running to this person for advice, or this friend, this book, this idea, this website. Grab our cell phone, we need to call somebody. And all of those things are important and they have their place. But how many of us have just settled in our heart that first and foremost, the Lord is my shepherd? If I need guidance and direction and protection and provision, who do I go to first, and who is the one in whom I place my hope and my trust? Who is the one who I am trusting with all my heart to lead and to guide me? I remember in my first year, one of my friends told me something that stuck with me ever since. Speaking about our shepherd, and he said, Philip, don't place your trust in your ability to follow God. Place your trust in God's ability to lead you. And that has been something that has so stuck with me throughout my Christian walk, that it's not about how well can I follow God, but how well can He lead me. And I reckon He can lead me pretty well. So my trust and my faith is not so much in my ability to follow, but it's in Him to be my shepherd. He says, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I believe that's a statement of faith. I believe He's saying there that I won't have any lack in my life. Not in the sense that I'm always going to be driving a Ferrari. Always going to have the largest, biggest, newest telephone and LED backlit TV and all of those fancy gadgets that I want. But He's saying, I'll always have enough in my life. There's not going to be any lack. I believe it's a statement of faith, but I think at the same time it's a statement of contentment. He's saying, what I have is enough. What I have will always be enough, but at the same time, it is enough. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything else. I'm happy with what I have. Statement of being content with all He has. And He carries on and He says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I love this part of the passage. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Some of us are so busy and so driven. We've got so many plans and things we need to do. We need to do for the glory of God, and we need to accomplish. And from time to time, He comes and He makes you lie down. I was saying in the first service, and Timmy was here as well. Timmy comes from Barclay East, and we've got great friends at Barclay East who got a really cool church, and we go there regularly. And they're sheep farmers. And I've had the privilege of spending quite a bit of time with him on their farm. And it's interesting to see how you shear a sheep. You don't say to the sheep, oh, come here, little sheepy, stand nice and still, I'm going to shear you now. You first have to catch the sheep. We went in a little pen, probably about the size of this room. And I think they had 300 sheep in there the one year we were there. So there's sheep everywhere. I mean, it's like not hard to find the sheep. And then we said, okay, let's try and catch the sheep. This is a whole bunch of us. And 5 or 6 years ago, I was a lot more athletic. Do you know it was a mission to catch the sheep? The sheep isn't just standing still saying, catch me, catch me. You've got to run after him, grab him by his back leg and flip him over and push him down. And you know, God is like that with us sometimes. We're so busy running, so busy doing a whole bunch of stuff, that sometimes He just grabs us and says, lie down. Just rest. Just relax. For some of you, the holidays coming up and you've got all these plans, all of these great things that you're going to do for the glory of God. And sometimes some of you, God's going to come and He's going to rip all of that away and He's going to push you down in the beach and say, just lie down. Just relax a bit. In green pastures, in places where it's pleasurable to lie down. I'm not lying down in thorns and briars. I'm not lying down in the desert. But He makes me lie down in green pastures. He brings me to these places that are so pleasant and beautiful to be in. And then He forces me to lie down. You know, first service I was talking about Lisa, you know, little 9-month-old Lisa. Children are weird when they're that size. You know, she's tired and her eyes are red and she's rubbing her eyes. She looks at me and she rubs her eyes and she moans and you put her in bed and then she starts crying. Because we put her in this little jail cell all by herself and everyone else is having fun. Sometimes we've got to make her lie down. We know she's tired, she knows she's tired, but she doesn't want to lie down. And sometimes we like that and God has to come and make us lie down. In these beautiful green pastures, He leads me beside still waters. From time to time I meet these people who call themselves Christians, and they probably are, but they've got a storm in their life all the time. They go from one storm to the next storm to the next storm, and there's just always this big problem. And I want to come and say to them, you need to meet the shepherd. Yes, maybe you're saved, but there's a place where a shepherd takes you and he leads you to still waters. Yes, we're going to have storms in our lives. Yes, from time to time there's going to be chaos and stuff's going to go wrong. And then we need to be able to call on the shepherd and say, God, lead me to these still waters. Still water has just got this incredible peaceful effect on us, on me at least. Is anybody else like that? I just love being around still water. We've got a family farm in there near Hoedspruit area, and the Blyder River runs smack through the river our farm, the middle of our farm. One of my favorite places in the world, it's where I proposed to Yaneta, is just sitting on the rocks around that river. There's little rapids running around there, and there's this incredible peace and calmness that comes from just sitting there. Can't let your feet dangle in the water because the crocodiles are going to eat you. But you like sit on the rock, and you just enjoy the sound of the water. And if you feel a little bit brave, and you go for a swim, but you make sure there's someone looking for the flat dogs that want to come and eat you. Whether it's by a river or at a dam at sunset. Or you just go and to a quiet place on the beach where there's no one else around and you just sit on the beach. There's this calmness that this water seems to have upon us. And Scripture says that, David says that he knows a shepherd who takes him and leads him to the still water. He says, Just relax. Just enjoy it. Yes, you're going to go and you're going to slay the bear. Yes, you're going to go out and you're going to get the lion and you're going to get a hold of Goliath and all of these busy, amazing things you're going to do. But you're also going to come to the still waters. The place of rest. The place of just being calm. I love the next bit. He says, He restores my soul. Anyone here ever been in need of some restoration? Being made whole again. You know, we go through stuff in life and our hearts break, our souls get torn apart. And I love the promise that God has here for us. And David says, the shepherd, he restores my soul. He makes me whole again. This brokenness inside of me, I can take it to Him. Just in this week, I was talking to some people, just so broken. Just week after week, I don't know if you guys have those experiences as well. It's not even just church. So a lot of them are in church, but I mean, it's not just people who come and see me because I'm a pastor. It's just people that I meet on the street. And you walk around and there are broken people all around. Broken people in church. Some of you are sitting here and you're broken if you're honest with yourself. And this Jesus comes and He restores, He makes whole, puts us back together again. He restores my soul. So many broken people all around, and I just wish that they just listen to Jesus and come to Jesus and let Him make them whole again. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads us. Just going back a step, you know, so many broken people, we run to alcohol and friends and sex and drugs and whatever else because we're broken and we think that's going to fix us. Isn't that a little bit delusional? We run to the things that we know break us and the things that have broken us in the hope that they're not suddenly going to miraculously fix us. And so many of your friends and people around you are running to those things. Pray for them and get in their way and say, no, this is not the way to get fixed. Come with me, let's walk to still waters. I can't take you there, but I know who can. Let's pray together, let's walk together. Let's see that healing come to pass in your life. Then He leads me. He shows me the direction. And He leads me in righteousness. For righteousness' sake. In the paths of righteousness. He shows me what is the right thing to do in every situation. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness means to be in right standing with God. And He leads me to be in right standing with the Father. Which means He leads me to do that which is right. Once again, so often we don't know what is right. And we look everywhere except just asking the shepherd to lead us in righteousness. And I love how David just throws in just to remind himself why God does all of this. For His name's sake. It's not because I'm so special, I'm so cool, or I'm so this. It's for His glory and for His name. And He's leading me in these paths of righteousness because it brings Him glory. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Being with God and following the shepherd, there's no evil. There's no fear. Even if I go through the deepest, darkest pit, even if I've made the most stupid decision and there's death all around me, I don't have to be afraid. Because I know there's the shepherd who is leading and who is guiding. There's a shepherd who I can look to. There's a shepherd who I can trust. There's a shepherd who I can follow. For you are with me. That to me is single-handedly the most precious promise in the whole of Scripture. The same promise we get in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then sometimes we have the audacity to pray, God, be with me. God, will you be with me? And I think God's like sitting down and says, can't you read? I love you, I'm passionate about you, but can you read? I promise I am with you. Don't worry about it. I'm there. Just remind yourself of the promise that I've given you that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. David says here, you are with me. I will fear no evil. Doesn't matter what situation I'm in, God is with me. For some of you, that's a little bit of a brain explosion moment when you start thinking about that. Because some of you right now are in sexually active relationships and you're not married. Some of you just caught up in alcohol or pornography. You're caught up in a whole bunch of things. And you know who's right there with you right now? Jesus. If you're sitting in front of that computer screen, going to that website, do you know who's sitting there right there with you? Jesus. When you walk into the room with that boyfriend or with that girlfriend, when you buy that next drink, when you go to the bathroom to vomit again, you know who's right there with you all the time? Jesus. And all He's wanting you to do is just stop and turn and say, come in. Jesus, take control of the situation. Jesus, it's a mess and I know it's so wrong. I just made so many bad mistakes and this is why I've landed up. The great news is no bad decision you've ever taken has left Jesus behind. He's right there with you. You'll just invite Him in and yield to Him. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't know if you've ever seen a shepherd with a rod or with a staff, but just imagine the shepherd with his stick The rod is a short one and the staff is a long one. You guys remember the stories when you were kids of the shepherd with a little hook thingy? Who made one of those? Come, be honest. And you hooked your brother or your sister. Come, be honest. Yeah, yeah. Apart from this, yeah, look, the rest of you, I know you're lying. We all made that little shepherd's hook when we were a kid. What do you think the shepherd does with that little shepherd's hook? Do you think he's walking and when the sheep starts going in the right direction, he's stroking the sheep's little back. Oh, you're such a cute, good little sheepy. I'm comforting you. Oh, I know. Your little baby's growing up and it's heart sore. Is that what the shepherd does with his rod and his staff? No. The rod is for when the sheep starts heading off in the wrong direction. He hooks him around the neck and he yanks him back in the right direction. We were at the farm that I was telling you about, the friends in Barkley East. One year, and the shepherd with his herd of 100 or 200 or whatever, I don't know, a whole bunch of sheep. They're walking in the road and we're driving sort of on the way back to town. And the one sheep in this herd gets a fright. One sheep. So what does he do? He turns 90 degrees to the left, bolts to the fence and starts running that way. Do you know what every other sheep does? Oh, there goes the sheep. Makes a 90 degree turn to the left, bolts, and this poor shepherd, shame, he's now got to run to try and get in the front of them and get them all back on the right road. But he's not being nice and gentle when he's doing this. He's taking the sheep, shoving the sheep in the right direction, making sure it goes the right way. That's what David's talking about here. Your rod and your staff, those whacks on my butt and my shoulder, that hook around my neck, it comforts me. It gives me a place of security and safety. God, I love your discipline because your discipline protects me. Some of us here, our heads so freak out when we enter into God's discipline because we've got such a bad relationship with discipline and understanding of discipline because our parents did us an injustice. They either never disciplined us or they abused what is called discipline. And they called it discipline, but it wasn't discipline, it was just abuse. But there's a godly place where Scripture's got such beautiful verses where it says, the foolishness is locked up in the heart of a child. The rod will drive it far from him. If you beat a child with a rod, he won't die. Beautiful Scriptures. He who spares the rod hates his child, Scripture says. That there's a place where God would have us understand that His discipline brings us to a place of safety. Let me illustrate, because some of your heads are freaking out. My little girl, Lisa, 9 months old, beginning to get to the stage where she can understand verbal communication. She can't talk back yet, but she's beginning to understand no. And as she grows up, there comes a time where I'm going to say no once, and the second time she gets a hiding. Why is that? Because if I tell her she can't sit on the stove, yes, maybe the stove is off now and it's nice and high and she can have a conversation with the mom in the kitchen. But if I see her sitting on the stove again, I'm going to give her a hiding. Because maybe tomorrow when I'm not there, the stove is on. And we can't catch her. And the hiding is going to burn a heck of a lot less than the stove. Maybe this time there isn't a car driving up the road. But maybe tomorrow when I'm not watching, there is a car driving up the road. What does discipline do? Discipline lets her understand that there's somebody loving, looking after, who's not going to let her make mistakes. Who's not going to let her create damage to herself. Create a safe place for her to play in and to enjoy life. And do you know what God's discipline does to us? His rod and his staff. Why do they comfort us? Because it means I know I can go outside and I can play in the garden and I can just enjoy myself. because there are certain things that I've learned I'm not allowed doing, and I won't get hurt as long as I just obey my dad who knows what he's doing. And that's what David says here. Jesus, I love it when you give me a hiding, because it reminds me that you love me too much to hurt myself. You love me too much to make a mess of stuff. You're going to discipline me before the car hits me in the road. You're going to discipline me before I fall on the spike in the backyard. You're going to discipline me before I sit on the stove so I don't have to worry about sitting. I'm comforted. I'm okay. Because your discipline is there to look after me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I want you to picture this like a big castle with a ballroom and a massive table in the ballroom. And with a massive table is all these royal ornaments and candlesticks and just this beautiful table and a place of honor. The head of the table. And God Himself has prepared this table for you to sit at. But not only has He prepared the table for you, come in as a guest of honor, come and be seated here. He makes sure your enemies are there to see it. You see, God doesn't only vindicate us in the presence of our enemy, He celebrates us in the presence of our enemies. I can almost say something about 47 all out there, but we won't. He doesn't just vindicate us. He doesn't just come and on our behalf fight for us and show that we were right when we were right. But He celebrates us. He lets our enemies see that we are a child of the Most High God. That we have the special table and the place at the table prepared. He anoints our head with oil. What does that talk about? That talks about divine enablement, empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming and making us able to do His will. He encourages us to go out and to do that which He's called us to do. We get up in the morning and the shepherd anoints us and He says, you can go out and you can do it. I'm with you. I'm sending my Spirit to empower you to do this. My cup runs over. You know, think of like a really big lychee fruit shake or something that's really cool to eat or drink, liquid form. And David says it's running over. It's not like it's bottomless. It's not like when it gets empty, I can go for a refill. There's no chance of me ever emptying this thing. I can't drink fast enough to keep up with God. The way He's pouring His goodness into my life is just incredible. It's just spilling over and it's spilling into all my friends' lives. And all the people around me, there's just so much that they can't help but get some of it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David says he's got these really cool travel companions. You know, everywhere he goes, do you know who's with him? His two buddies, goodness and mercy. When stuff happens at this job or God speaks to him about moving and moving to another job, do you know who goes with him? Goodness and mercy. When he moves to his new house, do you know who's in that new house? Goodness and mercy. When he embarks on a missions trip and he does that which God's called him to do, do you know who's all along the way with him? Goodness and mercy. As Christians, and sadly as Christians, the world I can understand, but as Christians, so many of us are eyes open. We're looking for goodness and we're looking for mercy and we're trying to run after them. That's the wrong way around. We're meant to be close to the shepherd, and as we're close to the shepherd following him, goodness and mercy, they follow. Wherever we go, they're there too. By default, because they're there with us wherever we go. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The band can come up. I love how he says here, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's just painted this whole picture about the glory, the greatness, the hugeness of the God he serves. And he says, you know what my response is? My response is, I'm going to make sure I am there where he is. and I'm going to remain committed to His house. Because if it's special to Him, it's going to be special to me. I've got a shepherd. His name is Jesus. And there are a whole bunch of things in the way that He does for me. He leads me and He guides me. And I'm going to follow Him at all times. And more than anything, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His heart is on the house, which means that when it comes to the house of God, my heart is there first and foremost. And I love how that's the outflow of everything that He has in this incredible relationship with His shepherd. This incredible intimacy that He has with Him. He says, you know what that means? That means I'm going to be there where He is. This is the same guy who wrote, "One day in the house of God is better than a thousand outside." The same man who wrote and said he would rather be a gatekeeper in the courts of God than dwell in tents with princes. He would rather have one day in His presence than a thousand outside. Because he's got this intimate relationship with the shepherd who leads him and guides him. Brings him to still waters and green pastures. He makes him lie down. Anoints his head with oil. Prepares a table for him in the presence of his enemies. He vindicates him and he celebrates him. This is the God that we serve. And I want to encourage you in this week to take some time and read through Psalm 23. Meditate on it. Pray over it, even in quiet time. And there are probably going to be one or two areas you're going to look at and you say, "God, I don't know You as a God who causes my cup to run over." Or maybe, "God, I don't know You as the God who leads me by still waters. God, I know You as the God who leads me by green pastures, God, but I don't quite know You as the God who anoints my head with oil." And begin to ask Him and say, "God, I want to know this part of You too, Lord. God, I want to know this part of the God who saved me, who's leading me and guiding me, Lord. But Lord, when it comes to the paths of righteousness, God, I'm clueless. God, will You come and lead me? Will You come and guide me?" Trust God to so many different facets of who He is. To reveal those different ways in which He shepherds us. Can we stand this evening? I want to pray with us. As we just bow our heads, if we could just all do that, close our eyes. Father, I thank You for these incredibly special people, everyone here tonight, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that not one is here by accident, God, but You have shepherded them here, Lord. You have led them and guided them. But thank You, God, that we can know this great shepherd. Thank You so much, Lord. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you here this evening and you're saying, "Philip, you know, it's great. Love the shepherd that You're talking about. So many amazing things. But if I'm honest with myself, I don't know the shepherd. I've heard much about Him maybe, been to church often. But I've never had the experience where I've met the shepherd and He's turned my life upside down for the good. He's transformed me and made me whole and restored my soul in such a powerful way." If that's you this evening, I would love to pray with you. So I'm going to ask you, wherever you are, if that's you, don't you just quickly want to raise your hand and say, "Philip, that's me. I want to meet that shepherd." It would be my privilege to pray with you. For those hands. If you put them down, if you put them up. I'm going to ask one more time. Maybe there's still somebody here. in your heart, it's like there's this tug of war going on. It's exactly what it is. The enemy of your soul is trying to just keep you exactly where you are, bound, confused. And Jesus, the shepherd, who wants to lead you to still waters, green pastures, restore your soul. And you have to make that decision to follow him. So I'm going to ask one more time, if anybody else, I just want to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, just raise your hand nice and high. One, Jesus is excited about your life. Two, he's got the most amazing road prepared for you. Three, just raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. I'm going to ask those of you who've raised your hand, don't you just want to come right to the front here? We'd love to pray with you. Just step out from your friends and people around you and say, come, I'm going to go and meet the shepherd. Is there anybody else? You're still standing in your, at the back and you just so wish you were here. You didn't quite have the courage to put your hand up or to take a step. Is there anyone else? We'll wait for you. There's one more person who wanted to come. I'm going to pray just a simple prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. All we're going to do is we're going to ask Jesus to be our shepherd. Can we pray that? And I'm going to ask the rest of you, don't you just want to, with me, just ask Jesus again to be our shepherds? Can we do that? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight, Lord. And tonight, I want to meet my shepherd. Jesus, I've messed up many times. I've run away from the herd. I've done my own thing. But tonight, thank you that you're calling me back. Tonight I say yes. Jesus, come and save me. I know you are the Son of God and you died in my place so I can have life. I say yes to that life. And thank you, Jesus, that you will never leave me, that you will never walk away from me. You are with me always, even to the end of the age. I pray that you take my hand and that you lead me in the way you have prepared. I choose to follow. I follow you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like